by the smile that we wear. Nobody can smile like Solomon Stevens. He has his own unique smile. You know, William has his smile. Clifton has his smile. Anna Clemens, she has a smile. Carrie English. We'll know them. One of the ways we'll know them is by the smile that they wear, that we wear. And we'll have a lot to smile about. Sometimes our smiles are erased by circumstances and situations, by difficulties and by trials and tribulations. Sometimes it's hard to smile. But when you get to heaven, you're going to have so much to smile about. And not just smile, but your smiles will erupt into laughter and rejoicing. That's going to be a wonderful thing. And it ties in with our lesson for this morning. Something that we don't talk about a lot, but something that plays a vital role in God's plan. And I want to kind of single it out and talk about it in our lesson today. Utilizing as our specific title of this lesson, the vital role that hope plays in God's plan. We are often heard to teach that there are a number of things that save us. We are saved by faith. We are saved by grace. We are saved by blood. We are saved by the word. We are saved by the gospel. We are saved by baptism. But very rarely, and there are a number of other things about which it can be said by which we are saved. But one thing that very rarely is mentioned as an essential to salvation, and that is hope. When's the last time you heard somebody affirm that we are saved by hope? Very rarely is that affirmed. But that is a spiritual and scriptural reality. We know that faith is an indispensable. Faith is an essential for salvation. But so is hope. Look at Romans chapter 8, verses 24 and 25. Romans 8, 24 and 25, for we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. You see, hope involves that which cannot be seen. Hope looks to the future. Hope is the cord or the rope or the line that we use to tether us to the future, and we can't see into the future except by faith. Hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for it? Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 13, I believe Paul says in that great love chapter, now abideth faith, hope, and charity, or love. The greatest of these is love. See, when you get to heaven, you won't need faith. Faith will materialize and metamorphose into sight. And hope will no longer be needed because you will be able to see the realities of heaven and the realities of glory, the reality of the reward. So hope will dissipate when we get to heaven. But love will never be eradicated. Love will never be relegated to oblivion. Love will always be. Love will exist throughout eternity. The love that we have for each other here, the love that we have for God, and the love that God has for us, and the love that Jesus has for us, will still be a wonderful reality. Verse 25, but if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. We wait to meet each other in the morning. We can't see loved ones who've gone on before now, but we wait with patience for the opportunity to be reunited with them. Hope is composed of expectation and desire. These are two vital elements that make up hope. My brother Benny, years ago, we had a farm that was adjacent to ours in the Delta of Mississippi. And one year, one of the farmers in that area, the particular one under consideration, was T.U. McGaw. And he had about 40 acres of popcorn. And in order to come home, our road ran through his field. In order for us to get home, we had to pass by the popcorn field. What my brother Benny did, much to the chagrin of my mama, he helped himself to Mr. McGaw's popcorn. He brought home several ears. My mama said, "Where did you get that popcorn?" He said, "Out of Mr. T.U. McGaw's field." She said, "Who told you you could get some of that man's popcorn?" He said, "Nobody." She said, "So you stole Mr. McGaw's popcorn." He didn't want to admit it, but he had to grudgingly say, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "What I want you to do after I give you this whipping," she said, "I want you to take that popcorn back and put it back in that man's field." And he did it. And furthermore, she said, "When your daddy comes home, he's going to whip you again. You know better than to steal. You had no business getting that man's popcorn." And see, it was some hours before Dad was going to get home. Now, did my brother hope for Dad to come home? No, he expected him to come home, but he had no desire for him to come home. So he had no hope, really, because in order for hope to be hope, hope has to have both elements, both expectation and desire. He had the expectation because he knew Mama was a woman of her word. And he knew he was going to be in not for a whipping when Dad got home. He was going to be in for a beating. Dad believed in beating children. You know, a lot of folks don't believe in beating children today. You know, they think that will damage them psychologically. But Dad believed in beating. And Benny did not experience hope Rather, he experienced the opposite of hope, which was dread. He expected a whipping, and he dreaded a whipping. He had no desire to be whipped. Matter of fact, sometimes on occasions like this, what we'd do is we'd make sure we go to bed early. Yeah, be under the cover by the time Dad got home, even if it was 8 o'clock, thinking that this will lessen my chances of getting a beating. But often it didn't work. They'd come in and take the cover off of you and wear you out. You actually made bad matters worse because the clothing that you would have had on could have absorbed some of those blows. So it was worse for you. You may as well stay up and wait till Daddy comes and take your whipping like a man. But we can understand hope composed of expectation and desire. We often refer to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now faith and hope sustain a meaningful relationship between each other. Faith is the predecessor of hope. Faith gives birth to hope. Without faith, you will not have hope. Hope derives from faith. That's why we were just singing, "We'll meet you in the morning." That's why we talk about going to heaven. That's why we speak of the land of unclouded day. That's why we speak of how beautiful heaven must be, because God's word says it, and God's word gives birth to hope in our hearts. Notice a passage in Romans 15 and verse number 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through, notice, patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. The scriptures provide us with comfort, and we have and must have patience as we entertain hope. Through patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. We can't have any hope apart from the scriptures. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 18, after Paul had explained that those Christians who had already died and had been buried, that when the Lord came back, they would not be left behind. He says, we're not going anywhere in essence until the Lord has resurrected your relatives, and we shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, and so shall we be ever with the Lord. We'll be caught up in there. And then he says, comfort one another with these words. The scriptures comfort us. The scriptures comfort us when we are grieving. The scriptures comfort us when we are troubled. The scriptures comfort us when we suffer various kinds of loss. We derive comfort from the word of God. We do not have to despair because of the faith we have in the scriptures that furnishes us with a spirit of hope. Let's look at a definition, basically, or a multifaceted definition of hope. Hope is defined variously as trust, reliance, desire, accompanied by expectation, or belief in fulfillment. Expectation of fulfillment or success. to expect with confidence someone or something that gives you a reason for hoping. Who is that someone? Jesus. What is that something? The scripture give us ample reasons to hope. And then the definition I like best of all, and I think better fit the concept of human hope. Very simple. The highest degree of well-founded expectation of good. The highest degree of well-founded expectation of good. Christ is the basis for our hope. He's the reason for our hope. Our hope is centered in Christ. Look at Colossians chapter 1 and verse 27. And we're going to come to 1 Peter. I hadn't forgotten the scripture I had molded to read. Colossians 1 and verse 27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. Notice, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He's speaking of Christ as our hope, or Christ being the reason for the hope that we have. Now notice he says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's wonderful to realize that Christ is in us, but Christ can't be in you without you being in Christ. In Galatians 3:27, we were baptized into Christ. We have put on Christ, and we've been baptized into Christ. Christ is in us, and we are in Christ. In Christ is our salvation. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 10, I therefore endure all things for the elect's sake, that they too might obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. He speaks in Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Glory will accompany the salvation that is in Christ. And he speaks of the hope of glory. We'll be glorified when we get to heaven. We'll be glorified in the next life. We'll be finally saved in the next life. Peter, going back to the scripture lesson, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Notice, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again, that is, we've been born again, unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So we have been begotten unto a lively hope, a living hope, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Our hope of salvation, our hope of heaven, our hope of meeting each other in the morning is predicated and based upon the resurrection of Christ. Verse number 4, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. can't see heaven except through the eyes of faith. I can hope for heaven, but I can't see it. And I am saved by hope. Verse number 5, 1 Peter chapter 1, who are kept, talking about us, by the power of God. We are preserved by the power of God through faith. There's faith again. Unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. How do we know that's going to happen? How do we know we're going to enjoy it? How do we know it's going to be a reality? By faith, through hope, we know it. Titus chapter 1, verses, verse number 2. Paul speaks, saying, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. God can't lie. I can lie. You can lie. We can lie. People lie. Parents lie. Children lie. Spouses lie. Bosses lie. Employees lie. But God cannot lie. We can take that to the bank. We have hope of eternal life. And God is the one that gives us that life, because God is the one that promised before the world began. And we are standing on the promises of God. We have that kind of confidence. God has given birth to hope in our hearts through his divine word. Then look at Hebrews chapter 7, verses 17 through 19, wherein God, Hebrews 6, 17 through 19, Hebrews 6, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise, see, we are heirs of promise, the immutability of his counsel. Immutability is just one of those big words that means unchanging, not possible to change, not susceptible to change. The immutability of his counsel confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which, notice again, it was impossible for God to lie. We might have a strong consolation. See, there's that idea of consolation, comfort. Who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Paul, in delineating the spiritual realities that make up God's plan for the salvation of man, in Ephesians chapter 4, he mentions hope. He says, there is one body and one spirit, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But hope is one of those essentials. It's one of the spiritual realities that make up God's plan, and it plays a vital role in our hearts and in our lives. We have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Verse number 19, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. We know what an anchor is. An anchor is a heavy iron weight that is used by ships. It serves to stabilize the ship. It serves to keep the ship from drifting. The story is told about a captain of a particular ship, and the captain was quizzing one of his sailors, one of his seamen, and he said to the young fellow, he said, what would you do storm came up all of a sudden. And the young fellow replied, "I'd drop an anchor, sir." Then the captain said, "What would you do if another storm came up?" He said, "I'd drop another anchor, sir." He said, "What would you do if a third storm came up?" He said, "I'd drop a third anchor, sir." He said, "What would you do if a fourth storm came up?" He said, "I'd drop a fourth anchor, sir." The captain said, wait a minute. "Seaman, where are you getting all these anchors?" The seaman, don't try to get ahead of me. The seaman promptly replied, "The same place you're getting your storms from, sir." Our hope stabilizes us in the various storms of life. We can have financial storms. Our hope is both sure and it is steadfast. And it enters into that within the veil. By our hope, we are tethered to heaven. You might have some domestic storms going on in your life. You might have some storms going on in your marriage, some storms going on your job, some storms going on in your community. But hope will stabilize you in the very midst of the storms of life. And we face so many challenges in life. And there are a lot of storms, storms of illness and sickness coming to our lives. I have a good friend whose uncle just died. And shortly after that, her father suffered a massive heart attack and also had a stroke. He's now in the middle of a traumatic storm. But when we have the hope of which Paul speaks, we're able to be stable in the storms and not allow ourselves to drift away from the love of God. In Acts chapter 27, verses 20 through 25, the ship in which Paul, or on which Paul was a passenger, got caught up in a terrible storm. Starting with verse number 20, "When neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, no small storm or tempest lay on us." Now, the one who is writing this narrative, undoubtedly Dr. Luke, said all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. You know, sometimes when the doctor shakes his head and says, "There's nothing else I can do for you," for some folk, hope is taken away. When some folks have to file bankruptcy, hope is taken away. In this storm, Luke apparently and a lot of his fellow travelers could see no way out. But he didn't realize, and a lot of us don't realize, Andrew Young many years ago wrote a book that was published by Nelson Publishing Company, and the title of it was "A Way Out of Norway." They had run here into a Red Sea situation, a Red Sea dilemma. The army of Pharaoh behind them, the sea in front of them. They were hemmed in. They couldn't see a way out. Hope was taken away that they could be saved. But Moses said, "Stand still. Stand still. You can't see it now. You can't see a way out. But stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." Sometimes we get so restless, and sometimes we get so irritable, and sometimes we get so nervous that we can't be still. But stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Luke says all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. The poet said, when hope is lost and honor dies, the man himself is dead. But listen to verse 21. The Bible says, but after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. But that's in the past. That is behind us. Verse 22, he says, and now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. Now, you're going to suffer some losses. You're going to lose this ship, but you will hang on to your life. Not a man will perish. Be of good cheer. And then he gives his reasons for having that hope. And he was seeking to lift up the hopes of the dispirited passengers and crew on that ship. He said, now, for there, this is the reason, for there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am, and whom I serve. I have a word from the Lord, and I am predicating and basing my hope upon it. My hope is built on nothing less but Jesus and his righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. There stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am, whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. When the storms of life are raging, Marshall Rose used to always say, God always has a man on board. Thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. It's good Paul was on that ship. If Paul had not been on that ship, they would have surely perished. But Paul belonged to the Lord. Paul served the Lord. And the Lord had already promised him, you got to go to Rome. I don't know if Luke realized that or not at that time. Then he concludes by saying in verse 25, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. Notice, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. That's it. Paul said, I simply believe that it's going to be just like it was told me. I believe God, it shall be even as it was told me. The ship is going to be lost, I believe that. But neither of us, none of us, will lose our lives. And if you'll continue to read the story culminating at the end of chapter 27 and in the beginning of chapter 28, you'll see that Paul's faith was well placed. Paul's hope was fully justified. And the same is true of you and me. I don't see how folks can make it in this cruel world, this war-torn world, this world filled with violence, this world filled with wickedness, this world filled with immorality, this world filled with anarchy and chaos and hatred. I don't see how people can survive if they don't have the hope that we have as an anchor of their souls. If you are here, and you might be caught up in some storm of life, you might have lost your hope, or the light of your hope might have been extinguished.